just as Jewish graves were violated in Europe and Jewish gravestones used for building there, so too were Jewish graves violated in the most famous Jewish burial site in the world. The gravestones from there taken and profoundly desecrated. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 237, Return to the Mount of Olives. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In September of 1935, a massive funeral took place in Jerusalem. The Ashkenazic chief rabbi of the Holy Land, Rabbi Abraham Isaac HaKohen Cook, had passed away. There was, of course, only one place where he would be buried. The man who had left the rabbinical world of Eastern Europe in order to live and serve as a rabbi on sacred soil. The man suffused with a love for the sanctity of the land of Israel. The rabbi who saw in the Zionist movement the workings of providence. This man could only be buried on the Mount of Olives, where over the centuries so many suffused with the love of the land of Israel had been buried, some even journeying in order to pass away in the Holy Land and be buried on the mountain. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency in 1935 described the scene, quote, with 80,000 persons lining the route of the march, Chief Rabbi Abraham I. HaKohen Cook was borne to his final resting place on the Mount of Olives this afternoon. He died in the Montefiore Hospital in his 70th year, after having been confined to his bed several weeks suffering from a cancer. Dense crowds stood silent on streets, balconies, and roofs as the procession passed. A detail of 100 police frequently found it necessary to clear the way for the funeral cortege. End quote. Thus did the Mount of Olives take on another grave of another significant figure in Jewish history. 13 years after this funeral, the Jewish people were cut off from all these graves, cut off from the graves of loved ones, of fathers, of mothers, and of revered rabbis. Hanan Morrison, in an article in Arutz Sheva, referencing the famous poem by Rabbi Judah Halevi, which speaks of his heart being in the East even as he is in the West, describes the pain felt by Rabbi Cook's students when, after Jordan held the area of the Mount of Olives, they were unable to visit the grave of their revered teacher. Quote, three Hebrew dates are engraved on Rav Cook's tombstone. The first is the 28th of Iyar, 5664. That was the day in 1904 that Rav Cook ascended to the land of Israel. The second date is the 28th of Iyar, 5679, when he ascended to the holy city of Jerusalem in 1919. And the third date is the 3rd of Elul, 5695, the day in 1935, when his soul ascended to heaven. Following Rav Cook's death, family members and disciples would visit his grave every year on the 3rd of Elul. But after the Jordanians captured East Jerusalem in 1948, this became impossible. The mourners made do with a memorial service in the Merkaz HaRav Yeshiva. But their hearts were in the East, in the abandoned cemetery on the Mount of Olives. End quote. The story of the Jewish return to ancient Jerusalem in 1967 focuses on the site of Jerusalem itself, and rightly so. But part and parcel of this story is another return, a return to the Mount of Olives, and that is a story to which we must return today. Following the conclusion of the War of Independence in 1948, not only did Jordan bar Jewish visits to the Mount of Olives, in contravention of the armistice agreement, but also so many graves were desecrated, just as, under Jordan, the synagogues of the old city were so terribly violated. Thus it was that after the Six-Day War, the JTA reported on the horror that was revealed. Quote, one of the most shocking reported episodes of the 19-year occupation by Jordan of Mount of Olives Cemetery near Jerusalem was confirmed today when Israeli officials found that tombstones from the historic burial ground had been used in the construction of an Arab Legion camp near Jericho. Some of the most revered religious leaders and Jewish personalities throughout the world are interred in Mount of Olives Cemetery, which was the most widely used Jewish burial ground until the Israeli War of Independence in 1948. The use of the tombstones for building the Legion camp was confirmed by a group of Israeli army chaplains and members of the Jerusalem Chevra Kadisha Religious Burial Society, who inspected the campsite today. Nearly the entire camp was built with tombstones, carted from the cemetery and used for the main parade ground, roads, buildings, and even the lavatory structure. Inscriptions were still visible on the desecrated stones, and efforts are being made to trace the location of the graves and replace the stones. End quote. Thus, just as Jewish graves were violated in Europe and Jewish gravestones used for building there, so too were Jewish graves violated in the most famous Jewish burial site in the world. The gravestones from there taken and profoundly desecrated. One can imagine the pain felt over the years by those whose loved ones were buried there. Rabbi Shlomo Gorin, who had been given access to Jordanian-held territory after the War of Independence in order to facilitate the return of the bodies of fallen Israeli soldiers, made every attempt during this journey to visit his own mother's grave on the Mount of Olives. As he recalled, quote, "When we drove to Jericho, I pointed out the gravesite to the Legion officer and asked him to stop for a few minutes to let me say a few words of prayer. He refused outright, saying that they had strict written orders that this was the only route they could use to take me from Jerusalem to Jericho and from Jericho to Beit HaRava and to Kalia, and that we were not to deviate from the route. I had to give in, and so it was that for 19 years, from the War of Independence until the Six-Day War, I was barred from visiting my mother's grave on the Mount of Olives." End quote. It is therefore, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely unsurprising that, even as the rabbis celebrated the miracle of the return to ancient Jerusalem and played such a central role in the celebration during that miraculous moment, he also immediately thought of his mother, of her grave, and sought to visit her burial site as soon as possible. But alas, the devastation had impacted his own family, and he was unable originally to discover where his mother's grave had been. Rabbi Gorin further recalled that, quote, "On the same day of the Six-Day War that we reached the Kotel, even before I conducted a tour of the synagogues in the Old City, I decided that I would go look for mother's grave. I climbed the slope of the Mount of Olives in my car. The grave had been marked with a structure of four rows of stones and a large stone slab that was very difficult to remove. When I arrived there, however, I discovered that there was no indication as to the exact site of the grave. There was nothing there at all, and I couldn't find it. The Arabs had razed the area completely. I was deeply pained that mother's grave had disappeared." End quote. Ancient Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen, is the locus of Jewish longing, but the Mount of Olives, where so many Jews over the centuries chose to be buried, is the ultimate embodiment of how ancient Jerusalem was always the locus of Jewish longing. And rightly understood, it is the joining of the two, Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, that highlights the link between Jewish generations and Jerusalem. It is therefore exquisitely appropriate that, aside from the image of the three soldiers at the wall, perhaps the most famous photograph from the story of the liberation of Jerusalem in 1967 is of members of the IDF atop the Mount of Olives right before the entry into the Old City. In this famous picture, one sees, as the book Lion's Gate describes, Mata Gur sitting on the ground, issuing the order over the radio, and standing next to him, Moshe Stempel, his number two, a man who has played such an important role in the story that we have told. That the orders for the liberation of the Old City were given on the Mount of Olives is profoundly appropriate. The rabbis tell us that during the Second Temple period, a bridge or ramp connected the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. And here, Mata Gur and his men, feeling the weight of Jewish history upon them, link themselves to Jerusalem from atop the Mount of Olives with loyalty and love. And it is with this loyalty and love that so many then return to the Mount of Olives following the miracles of 1967. Hanan Morrison further reports in Arutz 7 that in the midst of the devastation atop the Mount of Olives, the Jews that returned there were surprised to find that Rabbi Cook's grave had been utterly undamaged. When the son of the overseer of the Mount of Olives during the Jordanian period was asked by the Israelis why Rabbi Cook's grave had remained untouched, he responded, Morrison writes, that, quote, "We all knew that he was a great scholar, a holy man. It would have been perilous to damage his grave," end quote. Rabbi Cook was indeed a great scholar and indeed a holy man, but the holiness that he possessed was founded on his own link of love with the Jewish generations, which included the Jews whose own love of Israel had led them to choose to be buried on the Mount of Olives, whose own graves had been so unjustly and horrifically desecrated. Thus, the battle of the return to ancient Jerusalem was in its own way also a return to these generations, to those buried there. Rabbi Gorin concludes his own story about the Mount of Olives by describing how he could not leave his mother's grave undiscovered. And so he continues, quote, "The following day I went to the Jerusalem Chevra Kadisha, which kept very orderly records. They had maps of all the graves and the most ancient sections. They gave me a map and I went back to search for the grave. When I found the spot indicated on the map, my mind went numb. There was nothing left at all. The tombstones had been all plundered and dismantled. I couldn't even find the upper slab. I searched the entire area for a whole day. The following day, Hebron was liberated and I went there. Later, I returned to continue my search and slowly descended the hillside. I suddenly saw an upside-down stone that seemed familiar. I turned it over and saw that it was indeed my mother's tombstone lying 300 yards from her grave. I immediately hired laborers to take the stone back to where it belonged, and I contacted a tomb builder who could rebuild my mother's tomb and place the original slab on top. A few days later, Mother's tomb was rebuilt, topped by the original slab with the inscription of all the things we had written in her memory. Thus, I felt that another circle had been closed, this time in honor of my mother. End quote. One of the exquisitely beautiful verses in the Book of Ruth is the exclamation of Naomi, Baruch Hashem asher lo azav chasto min achayim umin ametim. Blessed is God, who has not abandoned his loving loyalty from the living and from the dead. It is, of course, appropriate to focus on the jubilation experienced by those alive in 1967, but it is also important to remember that one of the great miracles of 1967 was the rejoining of the graves of those Jews that had been buried atop the Mount of Olives with the living Jews, whose love for those that had gone before was profound. For only together, past and present, Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, do we find a full embodiment of Jewish eternity and of a link to the sacred city that will never die. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.